Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Continuing on with our 25 years, looking back on those Ravens' first 25 years and some of the great individual players and games and seasons. And we're not having a lot of rules other than we don't want to do Mount Rushmore. So if you're interested, you know, send me a DM on Twitter. Joining us today for a really interesting one, and this is the kind of thing we want, is Pete Gilbert from WBAL. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Ken.
Really appreciate you coming on, making time for this. And a topic that I think a lot of people are interested in, and definitely a similarity that I think more and more people are noticing. Tell us about it.
So, you know, I loved you posed the several possibilities about discussions about how you want to look back and, you know, thinking about these 25 years and the idea of a current player compared to a former one. Who brings to mind? I thought that spoke to me. And particularly after watching Adafe Owe, and while he feels so singularly unique here because of his size, his speed, and his versatility, but I mean, for fans that certainly in the early 2000s, you can't help in my mind but think of Adalys Thomas. And in terms of the way that they saw something special in him and said, we can do so many different things. And we're already seeing that right now with Adafe, just three games into his career, lining up in different spots, finding different ways. The way he can drop in coverage because he's 4.3 speed for a guy that's 265 pounds, which is mind-boggling. But Adalys Thomas did the same thing. And what really struck me and made me think of it too, they were both gunners, at least partially at times, in special teams. We saw that, you know, in the preseason, I think in week one. And so watched Adafe out there as a gunner and beat the double team and get down. And it was a fair catch, and he was angry about it. But, you know, Adalys Thomas was a gunner at 270 pounds as well. And so the idea that these two guys, so much credit to the Ravens coaching staffs, obviously different people then and now, you know, Rex Ryan in particular back then, and the, you know, and obviously now with Wink Martindale, but the willingness to say, all right, I have something different here. I have something special. Let's go ahead and find me as creative as we can.
Yeah, it's the special teams usage. I don't think that's going to last. I think that's something
ideal. I kind of hope not, but yeah,
he stayed on for a while. But now Adafe, there, he's playing so many snaps. You know, we thought, oh, when are they going to get him on? Is it just going to be a situational pass rusher, just a run defender, based on what he'd done at Penn State? And now it's like they need him for every down. They can't be without him. So you know, what he's done on defense is very special. I agree with you. It's the extraordinary speed which makes that difference. And we saw in week two him jamming Travis Kelce on plays. I thought that was an excellent use to, you know, throw up the timing. It's so hard to get Kelce stopped. And then, of course, on the really big play, he jammed Kelce at the line of scrimmage, then came in and got the twisting takedown for a quarterback hit of Mahomes, who threw the interception to Ivy. To Tavon Young.
Right, Tavon Young, except like Corey Ivy was probably back playing with the Daily
Times. Yes, probably.
You know, and the way that he was the it's not just the speed, but his length as well. You know, he wraps Mahomes up from what it looked like he still needed, a conventional player would need another step to get to him. He didn't. He was there in that one. And then likewise, the length on the forced fumble.
On the reach fumble, exactly.
He was so far away, Allaire didn't consider him to be a threat at that point. And that's why he was able to, with not that big a blow, able to knock the ball out. It wasn't a vicious swat there, but Allaire just didn't see it coming because he was so far away. And so when you recognize that, okay, here's a guy three games into his career that is able to make plays that nobody else on that defense could make right now, that's where you're like, okay, what just might this be? And Adalys did a lot of that too, in the way that he would drop. He lined up at, you know, nose tackle, at outside rush, at safety, you know,
slot, I mean, corner, I guess a tight end regularly.
He would go, he'd be in the slot all the time on a tight end. I mean, it's just so much fun to watch that.
I always tell this one story about Adelis Thomas, because in 2005, the Ravens secondary was decimated by injury. So Rex Ryan had to figure out, how do I get the other team covered? They played that year 265 snaps. That's a quarter of a season with only three defensive backs on the field. And the reason was Adelis Thomas. Adelis Thomas was effectively able to play strong safety and get in there and either do whatever they needed coverage-wise, cover a tight end, in fact, cover a crossing wide receiver better than our current inside linebackers could do. He's just extraordinarily effective and versatile player. And then still, you know, in 2006, as soon as it became third down, the light switch flipped another way. He'd go hand in the dirt and be rushing the quarterback off the edge.
Right. And, you know, he was a guy that you wanted on the field in every circumstance. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'll be curious to see how long it is before Owe is there in that same mold. Obviously, he's so raw. Like, he only played really, 2 years in high school, mm-hmm. and then, you know, 2 years at Penn State. So, yeah, he just hasn't played a lot of football. So there's still, but what is also like Adelis Thomas, his desire to figure it out and his desire to try and be great, the work that gets put in, Owe is routinely one of the last guys coming off the practice field. He's always seeking out his elders, you know, looking for better ways to do things. Justin Houston is probably going to be sick of him midway through the season for all the times that he's at him. I wish we could be in the locker room again, because you know that you would see it there as well. Same with Pernell McPhee. He seeks the knowledge. So you have this really smart guy. And by the way, he's going to be a broadcaster, I assume, at some point, because mm-hmm. his pipes are so deep and rich. I'm so jealous of them. Of all his features, that may be the one I'm like, that's the one. God, they're beautiful. He so badly wants to learn, mm-hmm. and wants to be great at this. And that drive, I mean, it's funny. He doesn't smile a lot. He's a no-nonsense dude. Adelis, no-nonsense, too. They really are similar in a lot of ways. And if you can get to the point where he can have 13 and a half sacks, and make those kind of plays again, which I think is possible for Owe. You know, I think Ravens would feel very fortunate, feel very good about that pick. I keep going back to Joe Ortiz in the offseason when questioned. You know, he went through every draft pick, he had video lined up to show us. Mm-hmm. Here's 10 plays. Well, he stayed on Owe longer than anybody else, mm-hmm. trying to make us understand why and how you would take a guy in the first round that didn't record a sack right. in his final season. And all the plays that he showed were plays that were game-breaking plays, hitting the quarterback, forcing a fumble. But the one that he showed us over and over again, and Joe couldn't stop smiling about, was he had stunted inside, got caught up in the wash, and tracked down a running back 25 yards down the field. And he was not humanly possible to be able to do that. When he said, when I saw that motor and you see those tools, that just, it's too special not to see that they're not to know that they could find a way to use it.
Yeah. That the speed and the motor combined are a remarkable, combination. And he's what he's done so far is just, I'm loving it on so many levels, but the Clark sack this last week against the Lions was one where he crossed the face of the left guard and he took the left guard and the center out. Campbell did the same for an Ellis pressure, but Clark immediately knew what to do, ran right off his rear end, easy sack. And it was one of those plays that you say, oh my God, if he's an under player, I thought he could be a looper. Yeah. But if he can be an under as well with that kind of technique, use his length, like you're saying, I think, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of how he can help the defense, not necessarily all with personal contributions.
Right. And the idea that the Lions recognized they were going to need two guys mm-hmm. at that point to deal with him.
Three on that play, because the running back came up and committed
as well,
him, which is
right. So they all went to him because they had studied from the week before, and they said this 99 is a problem. We got to be aware of where he is. And Chuck Clark on that takes a step back, looked like he was going to drop, and then raced in, which is so. And that's what I love so much about the game. There's so many little pieces on every different play from so many different people that when it comes together in concert, it's so great. And you know, Adelis Thomas, part of those early 2000s defenses that were so good. And, you know, in 2006, I think probably for him was at his pinnacle as a Raven. You know, it was a 13-3 year, and they keep Peyton Manning out of the end zone in the playoff game and somehow don't win, which I think that that still made me the most bitter for so many people. The 06 year, that what could of the what could have been crew. That was disappointing. But the way that he was so impactful on that, and I am happy for him that he was able to, even though it was with New England, you know, they someone paid him. They you know they went ahead and they the Patriots saw his value. Bill Belichick certainly did. And he wasn't, I don't think, quite as great as he was in Baltimore.
No, had he one still, good year.
Yep. He had a really good year, and he won a Super Bowl there. And, you know, he got a ring. What's also interesting, too, with the Dallas, you know, he was 13 picks before Tom Brady.
Yep. And it's incredible, isn't it, that Adafi Owe can't get out of the first round, and it makes all kinds of sense. How the hell did Adalis Thomas last till round six?
And you know, Southern Miss being a part of it back in 2000, you know, is just not a school that was going to get the attention. Now everyone, there's so much video of every player, you can be Division III and they're going to know about you. Mm-hmm. And they will have scouted you. And scouting departments are so much larger as well. It's just the NFL just keeps growing into this behemoth that just is, I can't imagine it stopping. At some point, you know, there'll be 45 coaches per team, and you'll have a scouting department with 200 people in them. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. But you know, where would Owe have gone in 2000? If he posted a year, his final year in college without a sack, there's no way he's in the first round because of those the idea of what you have to be, and it's so much about your statistics and your production, regardless of what you would see even watching the film of him. So he would not have been a first round pick in 2000.
I agree.
Fall into the sixth round, but he wasn't going to be a first rounder.
Right. Even the really with it teams would have said that's not an economical draft pick. Even if they said, you know what, I could put a first round grade on this guy, it's not outrageous. They'd still say, but I know we can get him at the beginning of the third round, and they try and do it that way. But it's unbelievable talent. Obviously, the speed combined with the size is even greater than Thomas. Thomas was very fast. He was a 4.5 guy, and there aren't many of those at linebacker, period, especially at his kind of size. What strikes me is how long it took Adalis Thomas to get on the field. In 2000, you know, he's drafted, and he actually played more snaps in the postseason than he did during the regular season. It's like 10-8.
It was special teams then, and even then, you know, his next, you know, in 2001, he still wasn't a full-time starter. You know, they were using him more, but he was not, you know, he wasn't out there. They certainly didn't view him as a three-down guy, and you know that the involvement there, and that probably goes somewhat into the fact he was a sixth-round pick, and you know, even you know, all the credit to Brian Billick and company. Billick still, you know, he's looking at a sixth rounder. We'll see where he can turn out. I think teams are much more willing now once they see someone to say, oh, I don't care whatever round it may be. If you can play, I don't care what's been invested in you from the front office. I need you on the field right now. And the Ravens have become very good at that. And you look at the willingness to be with the used undrafted players in the way that they have more so than many other teams. And, you know, of course, you know, Gus Edwards, the latest of the guys, the undrafteds, to, you know, make an impact in that regard.
It goes kind of without saying also that the 2000 defense was a hard unit to break into. And the 2001 team also still one of the deepest defensive lines in NFL history. And they were getting the next generation, and Kelly Gregg was there, and Kelly Gregg stayed, you know, pretty much on the practice squad the entire 2000 season. And on 2001, he was on the roster. Yeah, all right, 2001. That's right. He won the job from Dwayne Missouri, right, in that last Giants game.
Nice to have the choices that Brian Billick had then, right? To imagine, like, yeah. I think Adalis Thomas is pretty special, but we don't need him right now.
Speaking of choices along those lines, I mean, Matt Judon has been lost to the Patriots again, not dissimilar to the way that Thomas was lost all these years ago. And it really seems to me the Ravens have found a replacement who might be better, dare I say.
Yeah, I mean, now the value-wise, Judon coming, what, late fourth round was, mm-hmm. you know, they certainly feel they got all they could have hoped for when they took him out of Grand Valley State. But, you know, at times you really thought he could be that consistent 12-plus sack guy a year. And it's not quite who he is. My sister lives up in Massachusetts now and married a masshole, and she has gone full on into Patriot loving in her Patriot loving ways. So it's always interesting that she loves football. And so we have a conversation every week after to discuss the games. And she's talking about Matt Judon. They're saying how impressed they are with him so far. And he is. And he's a really good player. He's smart and he is versatile. But he's going to do two or three dumb things in a 3-week span that will drive you absolutely bonkers. It's part of his DNA. It will not change. Belichick's not changing that from him. That's who he is. And so I just want you to be prepared for that, Suzanne. It's coming.
Great cover guy. And I think we're going to get that from Oway in time. You know, we've seen some of the disruption. But, I mean, if you're talking about who could have covered Tyreek Hill, you know, he's the kind of guy who can do it. If you're talking about the fastest tight ends and even some wide receiving threats that go into the slot, Oway is a perfectly reasonable choice, particularly if you want to press hard on that receiver and then go after him because the speed is there.
If he can jam Tyreek Hill, Tyreek's going to go backwards first. And again, that's the disruption then. And that gives, you know, that's a second and a half before Hill is past the line of scrimmage. And that's a second and a half that's gone from a home after the snap.
There you go.
So the whole idea that I'm not asking you to run with Tyreek Hill on a deep cross, but if you can jam him and stay with him there for 2.5 seconds, 3 seconds, now that's where you've got to believe. Then in the way that, especially Wink, it's so much fun to watch the ways in which he designs these blitzes, and they just don't know where they're coming from. That's where then someone that you don't expect to be coming in, the quarterback doesn't expect to be coming, as Oway is dropped and is running with, your fastest player, something like that. That's definitely, I think, going to be on the horizon. And that's where, Wink salivates at the possibilities and that burst still. That's what any defensive coordinator wants. You can't be a one trick pony. You've got to be able to do so many different things in today's modern NFL.
Yeah, that versatility is entirely born of the outside linebackers. They have a couple guys with Sam characteristics. Last year was Bowser and Judon. Both of them could drop to coverage. That provides unbelievable flexibility in terms of the pass rush. That means slot corners, safeties, inside linebackers can rush. If you take your inside linebackers off the field, which is another possibility we may see more of from the Ravens, that they go with 4 outside linebackers, a defensive line, and 6 defensive backs after what's happened these last couple of weeks, those outside linebackers become terrifically important coverage assets. And Oway, it may be a player who's asked to grow since some of the inside linebackers don't seem to have it down at all. He's got the tools, at least. The other guys, they seem to have, a little bit less tools, but also much less in terms of any kind of instincts for certainly between level 2 and level 3. But I've even been questioning Queen's downhill instincts at this point.
Well, there it seems that Queen struggles with physicality and sometimes just understanding where he should get to. Yeah. And Malik Harrison can't run other than straight ahead. His ability to change direction just isn't, it's not great. And so those two together leaves me a little wary inside there, and is going to force them, Wink, to be maybe more creative. The fact they've gone to Josh Bynes now and made him on the active roster, it tells you kind of where they think right now, where they are inside linebacker.
We're a little bit astray here, but that move to me was incredibly telling because they had two practice squad elevations. The cap on this team is being managed on a week-to-week basis. I mean, they don't even want one additional player on the 53. In fact, they don't want a whole 53 because they don't want to pay for all that. They want practice squad guys. So to see Bynes get elevated, Queen ought to have taken that as a letter. I'm sure the come-to-Jesus meeting has happened. I don't know if he won't start this week or if his playing time will be severely reduced or what might happen, but I expect a change in role for Queen. I don't see any way that won't happen given what we've seen in these first 3 weeks.
I think you're right. I think he's not delivered. And again, he still is in terms of raw ability, and he's a raw player with a lot of ability. And he's starter week one, asked to really learn on the job. But it's, at some point, clearly they're like, he's not growing fast enough for them. And that's what that elevation tells you. I did want to ask you, too, after going through the games, Bowser has been incredibly quiet thus far. And again, he's the guy they chose to say, all right, as a mid-level, pay guy that we want to keep because, he had 3 picks last year. He's totally versatile. He can rush the passer. He can do some good things. He's been so quiet. And again, 3 games is a really small sample, so I don't want to read too much. But what are you seeing when you look at Bowser at this point, and is it concerning?
The Him being quiet concerns me. I look at like the plays that he was in a position to make, and the Clark hit on Swift, which he almost intercepted, is a good play by Bowser. He knew where to be on that play, and that was a good thing. If that is a pick and sets up a touchdown or sets up a score of any sort, I think we're not really talking about Bowser being quiet at this point. He's not being asked to do a lot of the really difficult things, and frankly, opposing quarterbacks are picking on the inside linebackers. They're not picking on Bowser in the same way. So you can only ask him to do so much in terms of getting outside and covering screen passes. The inside linebackers eventually will have to do their job on that.
No doubt about it. Just one more thing I was thinking about Adalis. What was neat about him was his ability to get into the end zone too.
Yeah.
You know, he scored touchdowns and that's where I'd like, all right, I can't wait to see Owe do that as well. Cause I think that he is that kind of game breaking, you know, total game breaking ability. And you imagine him, like, remember, you know, when Suggs picked up that fumble a mm-hmm. couple years ago and raced in 45 yards carrying the ball out there like a loaf of bread. I want to see Owe with the ball racing down a sideline because I think he will be a blur.
You being a TV guy have a tremendous sense for iconic video highlights, no doubt. And the Justin Tucker field goal, all of the elements of that were so perfect. I just needed to ask you about this. But, obviously it's a long field goal. It's captured from a good angle that you can look through the goalposts. You can see it hitting. And maybe even better yet, it's crystal clear. All the fans and the jerseys they're wearing and their reactions to the kick as it goes through. We should be seeing that for the next 50 years, I hope.
That is now absolutely part of NFL lore. That's one that will live on for, first of all, because it's I think it's a record that's going to last for, I mean, 66. It's just you just can't. They're not going to keep kicking the ball farther. It's just not going to. I just don't see it. It's incredible. The one thing, though, honestly, I was a little disappointed in the television replays of it. We never saw the tight shot of the ball hitting the crossbar. I wanted to see where on the crossbar it hit, you know, kind of how, you know, did it go forward because of the way the ball landed on it? Or did it land on the backside of the crossbar and had no choice but to rock it forward? Like, I mean, I go back because, I mean, Phil Dawson's kick for the Browns back in 2005 that was initially called no good here in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then I'm literally on the field interviewing Matt Stover about a game winning kick for him that he had made with 45 seconds to go or so when Derek Anderson for the Browns comes up and interrupts our interview and says, no, we're going to overtime. The kick was good. And Stover said, yep, I knew it. I'm like, wait, what? Well, that's because the ball had landed across the goalpost, but so awkwardly, because as Boomer Esiason once so eloquently said on that Monday Night Football, this thing has points. The ball, but, you know, came backwards when it shouldn't have. That's why I wanted to see, how did this ball hit on the crossbar? I've not seen a tight replay of it.
Right. It's one of the things that Harbaugh asked about this week. He said, I'd like to have the physics explained to me. And he's right in the sense that the ball's going in the wrong rotation. Because it's going counterclockwise as it's hit from underneath, and right. You would think, and it had that good end over end spin, exactly what you want to see. It was straight end over end spin, and you would think if it hits the crossbar in most places, it's probably going to bounce back and be no good. And somehow,
and not only does it go through, it rockets into the net. I've never seen a ball that hit the crossbar end up near the net, much less halfway up it. That was utterly preposterous that the ball would go that far. And that kick, though, I mean, the purity of that blow. Well, I mean, the ball just didn't waver, and it couldn't. There was no – you can't play a draw or a cut on a 66-yard field goal. It has to go dead, solid, perfectly straight, or it won't get there. And it did. And that just – and, you know, congrats to Nick Moore, you know, who replacing – you know,
a legend.
A legend. He had a long snapper, a legend. But hey, part of that Wolfpack that had been so successful together, wearing his same number 46, makes a perfect snap. Sam, of course, the perfect hold, and history to follow.
All right, Pete. Been an absolute pleasure to talk about this. This is the way these things always go. We end up talking about other topics, and that's fantastic. But Adalis Thomas and Adafi Owe are going to be a lot of fun seeing this go down. Tell folks where they can find you or talk football with you, maybe on Twitter.
Absolutely. Hit me up at WBAL Pete. I love engaging, having conversations on Twitter. most of them about whether or not Lamar can throw. It's a lot of fun. So please go ahead and hit me up there. And I also, I would encourage folks, if you can stay up late or even hit your DVR, Keith Mills and I do Ravens Wrap Up Sunday nights, and we do it late. You have Sunday Night Football, then you have 11 News, then Keith and I are up. Now, the beauty of that is that we don't have an off time, and that we can basically, it's supposed to be a half hour. I think last week we did 40 minutes because we just had so much to talk about, right? And so we do that, and I love Keith, and we have so much fun doing it. It's an honor to do the show with him, and it's the only local half hour Ravens show that you can get on Sunday. So that's on TV 11. Join us there. Hit your DVR, you know, and you watch it Monday if you want. If you can't stay up that late, it's a lot of people can't. But it's a really fun show. It is a Ravens show, and we will touch on the rest of the league too. But I mean, basically, that's where you're going to hear the press conferences, all the sound, you know, breaking down plays. It's fun. It's good, and we'll do. I did 7.5 minutes of highlights from this past game.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Right. You think I'm going to get 3.5 minutes tonight on a sportscast total for all my stories? Mm-hmm. I did 7.5 minutes of video highlights with Keith from the win over the Lions. So
a lot of fun.
Join us there.
Pete, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time on Film. Thank you.